Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Pivotal Systems December 2018 quarterly results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. John Hoffman, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with everyone in regards to our recent results. As we mentioned during our announcement in November, we'll be providing commentary with each of our 4C releases going forward. This week, I'm in Japan meeting with device manufacturers, partners, and leading Japanese equipment companies. Last week was spent at Semicon Korea, where Pivotal Systems met with key executives and engineers from strategic device manufacturers, leading equipment companies from the U.S., Japan, Korea, China, as well as industry executives. Pivotal ran live product demonstrations of our standard GFC with Teflon or PC-TFE, our high-flow GFC, and a new concept that we introduced called SmartStick. SmartStick leverages the inherent technical advantages, which are accuracy, speed, repeatability, continuous flow monitoring and control, as well as positive shutoff, that only the Pivotal GFC offers. SmartStick enables equipment companies and device manufacturers the ability to reduce the material cost by eliminating redundant components on their gas sticks. Only the Pivotal GFC allows them to do this. In moving through our recent 4C announcement, I want to reiterate the following. Pivotal achieved record revenue of $20.3 million in 2018 within our guidance range provided in November. We also achieved record new orders of $31.1 million in 2018. And this represented a 100% increase over our 2017 results and demonstrated that leading customers continue to stay committed to our advanced technology. Backlog or committed purchase orders that we've received but not yet shipped for 2018 ended up at a record $14.3 million. Pivotal Systems will address our 2019 outlook during our trip scheduled at the end of February, and we will visit both Sydney and Melbourne during that trip. In the area of products, the standard low-flow GFC, which is commonly used for our etch applications, continued to gain market share at leading device manufacturers with acceptance at two new leading Korean factories. At the same time, the high-flow gas flow controller, or GFC, was qualified at two leading device manufacturers, one in Korea and one in Taiwan, as well as a U.S.-based equipment company. The rapid qualification of our high-flow product demonstrates the close working relationships we've built with our key customers in addressing their advanced requirements. The recently introduced flow ratio controller, or FRC, received its second order from a strategic device manufacturing partner. Overall, Pivotal is committed to a pipeline of new products, as our history has demonstrated. We strive to maintain the technology leadership we have achieved in the flow control markets by being the go-to technology partner for both device manufacturers and leading equipment companies. We believe that as the semiconductor industry continues to advance to lower and lower geometries, the superior performance of our product family becomes even more compelling. At Semicon Korea, we unveiled a new set of features that we've added to our standard low-flow gas flow controller aimed at reducing cost for these customers. We also added new capabilities to the GFC to enable them to reduce their material content. The key new added features we've given them is ultra-high speed, which we've incorporated from a previous software release, and a new Teflon coating on our valve, which enables us to be able to provide positive shutoff, which no other MFC can provide. In other words, the leak by rate of our product now exceeds the specifications required for MFCs, and now exceeds the requirements for a positive shutoff valve. Thus, we can eliminate, again, more components on the gas stick. One other note, as we have seen at Semicon Japan and most recently at Semicon Korea, we have yet to see any meaningful new innovations from our core competitors. So as we continue to add better features and continue to improve our precision and speed, we further differentiate our products from our industry competitors. In the area of operations, Pivotal, working with our manufacturing partners, successfully brought up our new Korean manufacturing center capable of producing 4,000 units per month. Inherent to our operating model, this center can also scale up to 5,000 units a month within its existing footprint with 3 months' notice. Pivotal, working with our Korean representative, brought up our a new line in Korea, and this is our Global Repair Center. The Global Repair Center is going to be utilized to upgrade and clean GFCs, as well as provide new software revisions in the future. And as you can see from our current operating model, it is important to point out that the flexible cost model Pivotal established is very important to enable us to react quickly to the changes in the semiconductor market. Our low fixed headcount model allows us to adjust to deliver the needs to both our customers as well as our shareholders. Over many years in the semiconductor industry, downward inflections are time to get closer to customers and work on strategic issues and then enable the customer to grow out stronger when the industry recovers. We continue to execute to our growth strategy of 1, taking market share in the markets we serve, 2, expanding our served available markets, and 3, developing a recurring revenue stream in the markets that we compete in. At this time, I'll pass it over to Umesh, and he can discuss the specifics in the 4C.
Good morning. We are happy to report our December 2018 quarter cash flows. Overall receipts from the customers for the quarter totaled $4.6 million, bringing the total for the 12 months and the 31st, 2018 to US $19.4 million, an increase of 21% over the prior year. Previously discussed delays to customer delivery schedule during Q4 18 affected Pivotal's overall operating results. As discussed in our November 2018 release, postponement of previously planned CapEx spend by major semiconductor integrated device manufacturers, IDM, impacted new process equipment shipments. With regard to inventory in hand, as this is quarterly 4C, which is not audited, we'll provide more detailed update with the fully audited results. What I would say here is that it has not moved materially. Although the market condition remained challenging in the semiconductor industry, Pivotal still achieved revenue of $20.3 million unaudited and closed year with $14.3 million backlog. Cash flows from operation was a positive inflow of $395,000, while the overall net cash flow for the quarter was an outflow of $643,000. At the end of the quarter in review, the company had a cash balance of $17.5 million USD. The company is debt-free. I'll pass on to John.
So a quick summary, we will be back in Australia at the end of February, and we'll give our first half 2019 update. We're working closely to better understand spending levels from both equipment companies as well as our device manufacturing partners. While there are currently headwinds around capital spending in semiconductor, it's normally the time our customers will like to try new ideas, and in this And we're seeing that as, based on the reception we've had at both Semicon Japan, Semicon Korea, and even here during my most recent trip. There's also no question that the underlying fundamentals of the semiconductor IC industry continue to be strong and growing. Also, we're planning on our annual GM or AGM meeting on May 23rd at the BD offices at Sydney, and now might be a good time to pass it over for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Darren Vincent with Shaw & Partners.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Umesh. My first question is...
Hi, Darren.
Good morning. My first question is just about the backlog you've got. Can you just give us some details around the contractual sort of nature of that backlog? Are your clients committed to taking it? Is there time frames involved?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. This is John. The backlog is locked in with a guaranteed agreement. It will ship within 1 year. The agreement was back in October, if you recall, of 2018. I believe that as Samsung Hynix begin their spending here in the first half of 2019, we'll start to absorb most of it. There's other components of it, such as some U.S.-based companies and Japanese-based companies, but that's the, I would say, the lion's share. Umesh, do you want to add anything?
No, I agree with you. The lion's share is definitely secured by the agreement which we have in place.
Okay. And then I just want to sort of, I know you don't want to really talk about forecasts yet, and so I'm not asking that question, but like I'm sort of sitting here looking at your 20 mil of revenue, then adding that backlog, and sort of saying to myself, there's a baseline here of about 35 mil. You know, obviously, markets have weakened, the broad market has weakened a little bit since 18 when you've achieved that. But at the same time, you're winning market share. You've got some new products. You've got some new clients that hopefully will come on. So they're all positive factors. You know, who knows to what extent they can offset the negative. Is that a way, do you think, for us to go forward with our trying to understand the path Pivotal Systems might take over the next year?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. As I said, we'll give a deeper dive on 19 as we go forward, but I think you've summarized a lot of the inside thinking we have. We are winning market share, and that's not only on our standard product, but also on our newest release product for the high flow. There was not a lot of high flow revenue in our 2018 numbers, and so we suspect that we'll continue to grow that product substantially here in 2019. Your way of looking at it is similar to ours. We have basically positives on every front, and we're moving forward on every front. The question is, how much will the let's just say the slow in spending affect our abilities to leverage the business we already have? In other words, the market share we've already taken. So I would say the 35 million rate is close. I think we left last year probably with 3 million in backlog, so it's probably closer to 32-ish. And don't hold me to that, but that's an estimate. It really does come down to advanced technology, and I think most people are aware that as we move into 3D NAND, the number of layers on that chip goes from 64 layers up to 96 layers. That's going to require basically just adding more etch tools and more deposition tools to those factories, or adding them in the greenfield sites like Hynix M16, Samsung P3, and Xeon. So for us, actually we see our TAM potentially growing as they go to advanced geometries, which is the future, of course. So it's a complicated play, but we'll provide you more guidance. I think your way of looking at it's sufficient.
Okay, and then finally, sort of follows on from what you're saying, but when I look at what some of the Northern Hemisphere, like the OEMs and the IDMs, are saying about CapEx over the course of this year, and they're sort of throwing out downgrades of typically it seems 10 to 15%. There's been one or two that are higher. It seems as though it's pretty simplistic just to sit back and say 10 to 15% downgrade on your CapEx, but there's so much money involved in this, and each of these companies seems to have so many different projects under that they're investing in. Is it more a case of they're taking money out of reinvesting in some of the old product and the leading edge stuff, where maybe your GFCs are required, the race and is still on amongst the leading IDMs there, and that they just can't afford to take as much out of that part of their CapEx?
I think your perspective is solid. There's a couple of things that happen when the industry slows down. Number one is that the OPEX budgets of factories, operating expense budgets, which is dollars directly in control of fab managers to spend, goes up. So if CapEx overall inflects down, OPEX goes up. And the reason why is they're trying to get more output out of their existing factories. So it's a great time to be selling retrofits. And those are some of the discussions I've been having during this trip as I go around the world. So that's fundamental number one. Fundamental number two is exactly what you've said. Hynix came out last week with an announcement that said, hey, we're going to reduce our CapEx 40% year over year. But the trailing sentence was, all systems are moving forward at the new M facility, MFAB, which is at the cutting edge, the very cutting edge. Because if we look at 3D NAND and the ramifications for that, and solid state drives for your computers, and the like, those that don't invest are those that lose share. And not only is that Samsung and Hynix, it's also Micron and now Toshiba, who I'll be visiting this week. That global race just continues, and people will, let's say, invest less in areas where it's not cutting edge and strategic, and they'll invest as they have to in order to stay competitive at the leading edge.
Okay. Thank you.
With help, Simon. Or excuse me, Darren.
Your next question comes from Mark Jenness with Pitt Street Research.
Hi, John. Just a quick question on the various cycles, memory versus logic, and given the expectations for this year on the memory side. Can you talk a little bit about your revenue breakdown between the two and what sort of dynamics you're expecting to see this year?
Yes. Pivotal has been heavily a memory company as we've grown the company using our business in Korea. In 2018, that's begun to branch out in a meaningful way into Taiwan and some of those logic factories specifically. I still suggest the lion's share of the business in 2019 will be memory, but we have made some solid breakthroughs there. There's a fundamental question around that. I think some analysts have looked at it in that the leading memory guys have stuck to this idea of FinFET design. Intel in the past has gone to this idea of contact over active gate. I think they've had some issues with that. We're not close to that, but I've read about it. There is possibilities there for Pivotal in terms of the precision required in those gas flows, and we're investigating.
Right, okay. And just on, you mentioned your discussions on the weather fitting. Sometimes, when these cycles get a bit more nasty than people were expecting, there's a lot more, all of a sudden, a lot more optionality for retrofitting. And also in terms of the risk of cancellation, I've seen a few cycles where things are a lot worse than people were looking for. Even though you might have solid contracts, what do you see on the cancellation side in terms of risk? How much worse does it need to get before companies actually sort of push back on taking deliveries of new tools?
I think there's two aspects of this idea. One is that in most of the supply chains in the industry, they've matured a great deal from, let's say, the 90s or even the early 2000s, where let's just say the terms and conditions of contracts were not, let's say, flexible enough for the inventory to move between companies. And so that actually did get rather nasty, as I can recall, where people were where different contracts got canceled. There were lawsuits left, right, up and down. In my view, the industry has matured a great deal because the amount of inventory in play across the supply chain is dramatically reduced. So we've never had cancellations of units, but we have experienced delays. So I'm very confident that we're not going to be worried about cancellations. My big concern is just how quickly we can continue to take share in the meaningful accounts, and then how quickly can we leverage the retrofit opportunities, because in most of the factories that are out there, we've got some product there, and we just need to continue to leverage that on different bottleneck tools that perhaps are now opportunities.
All right, great. Thanks, John.
Yep.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Darren Vincent with Shaw and Partners.
John, just reflecting on the last answer you gave, and you mentioned FinFETs, just wondering, Samsung is starting to look at alternatives. I've been reading about a technology called Gate All Around. Any thoughts there about what that does to the requirement for enhanced precision?
Yes. I think actually all three of the leaders, let's say, between the two memory companies and Intel are looking at gate all around or contact over active gate. It appears that, Intel moved it into production ahead of the others. we believe this is, you know, from our view, the amount of precision required there from a flow perspective, specifically on plasma etching, is only going to increase. The aspect ratios of these etches, in other words, the depth of the etch, is getting to be rather extreme. And so without getting into a physics discussion, the point about this is if you're not etching, you're actually depositing. And if the process is in tune correctly, it's very difficult to do these etches. So from our view, the precision of flow control is material in that, and that's quite helpful for us in the long and the middle term. And the other side of it, and I think Lam made some comment around this during their call, is that those etches also take longer. So if they take longer, that means ultimately you're going to need more tools, or you're going to need faster flow controllers as well as other elements in your process system to get your throughput up. I think Pivotal is well positioned in both of those areas.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Brendan Kelly with Moelis.
Hi, John. Just a couple of questions for me. Firstly, on the high flow, it looks like you've already had some successful qualifications there. What does the roadmap look like for those new qualifications in terms of moving to revenue generation? And then secondly, on the high flow, what does the roadmap look like for future qualifications with some of the leading IDMs and OEMs?
Okay, thanks, Brendan. First, the revenue roadmap, we've initiated our work down that trail. We have been getting multiple repeat orders on the high flow product from those two IDMs and one equipment company. What this does effectively on deposition is, as an example, in metal deposition, which is an area the standard product has been doing quite well in for a select number of gases over the years, is it's now allowed us to compete across the whole gas panel. So instead of selling, let's say, 6 GFCs on a panel of 14, we can actually sell 14 out of 14 with these higher flows. So that's going to dramatically affect our ability to take even more market share. And so that the roadmap there is that to continue to work with the integrated device manufacturers that are qualifying the product beyond the two that have already finished, and then continue to work with the equipment companies in order to get qualified across the spectrum of three major companies so that they can begin to sell it as a standard. The one equipment company that has qualified it has already given us official part numbers, and they have begun selling it, which is excellent news. From a matter of perspective on this, it took about 4 years for our standard product to do what the high flow product has done in about 18 months. And I think there's two reasons. The first reason is we've got very significant relationships with both the device manufacturers and the equipment companies. And in most cases, this is just partnerships where we're working closely with them to identify their needs, what they're trying to accomplish. As opposed to early on with Pivotal, we spent a lot of time trying to understand it as best we could without actually working on their tools. And I think that's been a big advantage here as we brought out the high flow product. In terms of the roadmap, we're working with those equipment companies and additional device manufacturers to continue to monetize the product. We'll talk about that with some depth, I believe, as we get there in the end of February.
Okay, thanks, John. And just how much of the $23 million would have been high flow approximately in 2018?
It's a relative low percentage, Brendan.
Okay, thanks for that.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Hoffman for closing remarks.
Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for your interest in Pivotal Systems. As the industry goes through 2019, I think it is important to realize this is, although a dynamic industry, it's an industry that's strongly underpinned by fundamentals. This area of artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, not to mention solid-state disk drives for laptops, PCs, continue to march forward. We see the cycles here will continue to even out over time. But I would remind everyone that Pivotal is far, far well positioned to continue to gain market share in the advanced technology nodes that drive the industry forward. We are very confident of our products and our development team, and I think 2018, in a year when many of our competitors were flat, was a great year for Pivotal to show continued market execution and taking a leading position in market share across the board. I very much look forward to seeing everyone at the end of February. Again, we will visit both Sydney and Melbourne, Omesh and I, and look forward to a deep discussion at that time. Thank you.